Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have gathered here today to hear your word and to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may be strengthened in our faith and love by your holy word. Give us the comfort of knowing that you are with us, and with Jesus as our good shepherd, we truly have nothing to fear, but know that he works everything in our lives according to your plan and for our good. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is "Today Your Mercy Calls Us." Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of worship that's printed for you on the page two in your bulletin. We begin this morning's worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, Let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father. Your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone are Lord Most High. In God the Father's glory, amen, our glad reply.
The Lord be with you. We pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who crucified him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love or fail to give others as you have forgiven us. Wash us clean of all our sins and grant us the fullness of your salvation. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The main theme for our worship service today is forgiveness, both God's forgiveness and our forgiving of others. Our first reading is Psalm 103, and as we read through this responsively together, look at some of the ways the psalmist describes God's forgiveness toward us. We read on page 5, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for today is from Genesis chapter 50. We'll read verses 15 through 21. Glory to you, O Lord. This account from the book of Genesis is the account of Joseph revealing himself to his brothers, who, if you know the story of Joseph, they had sold him into slavery previously in his life many years earlier, and they are afraid now that their father is dead and that Joseph is going to take his revenge on them. Joseph had risen to be basically the one in charge and in command of the entire nation of Egypt. Joseph's response to his brothers, however, is a wonderful example of how we are to be forgiving toward others who wrong us. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and will pay us back in full for all of the evil that we did to him." They sent the following message to Joseph. "Before he died, your father commanded us, 'You are to tell Joseph, please forgive the offense of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. Now please forgive the offense of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down in front of him, and they said, "See, now we are your servants." Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring this to pass and to keep many people alive as it is this day. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will nourish you and your little ones." He comforted them and spoke to them in a kind way. Here ends our second reading. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia.
Join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 7 in your bulletin.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Our next hymn is found in your TAN worship supplement, found in your pew, hymn 779, Redeemed, Restored, Forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has won our full and free forgiveness by his death on the cross for us, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We read from chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. This is Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came up and asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you as many as 77 times," or in some translations, 70 times seven. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle them, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Because the man was not able to pay the debt, his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, children, and all that he owned, to repay the debt. Then the servant fell down on his knees in front of him, saying, 'Master, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything.' The master of that servant had pity on him, released him, and forgave him the debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began choking him, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and begged him, saying, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and threw the man into prison until he could pay back what he owed. When his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were very distressed. They went and reported to their master everything that had taken place. Then his master called him in and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt when you begged me to. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?' His master was angry and handed him over to the jailers until he could pay back everything he owed. This is what my heavenly Father will also do to you unless each one of you forgives his brother from his heart." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Forgiveness. What a wonderful word. What a blessed, comforting thought. We all want forgiveness. We want and expect others to forgive us. We want and expect God to forgive us for our many sins. It's just that it's very hard to give that forgiveness in return to others, isn't it? The reason Jesus had to tell us this parable. One Bible commentator wrote this: "In each one of us lurks the pride that demands satisfaction for a wrong and considers it weakness to forgive. Before we are aware of it, a raging vindictiveness can take over in our hearts and drive out a humble remembrance of God's forgiving mercy." This, of course, is not the type of attitude that Jesus wants from us. As his followers, an unforgiving attitude is not what we want either. We want to forgive like he forgives. We want to love others like he loves us. But that, of course, is easier said than done. The good news is that with his help, and with his Holy Spirit working in our hearts, he can lead us to see how much he has forgiven us, and he can change our attitudes and reform our hearts to be forgiving and to forgive. We pray that he would lead us to this as we consider his powerful words in this parable from our text. This parable is prompted by Peter's question. Peter opens with a question where he's essentially asking Jesus, "How many times do I have to forgive my brother? How many times are we supposed to do this forgiving thing? Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And it's apparent that Peter probably thinks he's being pretty generous here. Seven was a number of significance to the Jews. It was seen as kind of a number of completeness or fulfillment. And if someone sinned against you seven times, that seems like a lot of times to forgive them.
and yet Jesus tells him not seven times, but as many as 77 times. So that number of completeness multiplied by 10, Jesus is saying essentially here, forgive an unlimited amount of forgiveness. In order to make his answer clear to Peter, and of course also to us and those who would read this account in the future, Jesus goes on to tell a parable about a servant who owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, it's sometimes kind of hard to know exactly how to convert some of these New Testament units of money into modern day worth, but this is an incredible amount of money. You'd probably find different estimates as to how much this is. It's roughly estimated by one commentary to be worth more than $50 billion. The point, of course, is that it's a lot of money. It's a debt that was unpayable. The servant could not pay it, and he was about to lose everything. His family, his possessions, he himself were about to be sold off into slavery. So he falls down on his knees, and he begs the master, "Master, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Amazingly, our text tells us that this master of that servant had pity on him. He released him, and he forgave that debt. Put yourself in the shoes of that servant. Going before that king with that massive debt, let's just say it is $50 billion. Imagine having that debt erased completely, just because of the mercy of this master. Imagine what that would feel like. The weight that would be lifted off your shoulders, the relief you'd feel from having this massive, unpayable debt completely and totally and freely taken away. Think of the joy you'd feel at now being miraculously debt-free. Now, what if after walking out of that master's chambers, you see a friend of yours come down the road who owed you a pretty decent amount of money, approximately, according to some estimates, several thousand dollars. Can you imagine then grabbing them by the throat and saying, "Pay up or else"? I mean, that's exactly what the servant does in this parable. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. A denarii was roughly a day's wages, so 100 denarii would be roughly a third of a year's wages. So we're not talking about an insignificant amount of money, but compared to $50 billion, this was not even significant in comparison. This servant grabbed his fellow servant, began choking him, saying, "Pay me what you owe." When this man then falls down at the first servant's feet and begs him in almost the exact same way, "Please have mercy on me, I will pay you everything," how does this man respond? But he refused. Instead, he went off and threw the man into prison until he could pay back what he owed. As you might expect, when the master hears what this servant did, he was furious. Then the master called him in and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt when you begged me to. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" His master was angry and handed him over to the jailers until he could pay back everything he owed. Any idea in the parables of Jesus what the allusion there is when he talks about throwing someone into prison? Sometimes it's followed by weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is an illustration of the torments of hell. And Jesus then concludes the text with these words of warning. "This is what my heavenly Father will also do to you unless each one of you forgives his brother from his heart." That's the parable. You've probably heard that parable before. It's one of Jesus' most familiar and most famous. Now let's do the hard part of applying it to ourselves. We, like this servant in our parable, have an enormous amount of debt before our God, our King, our Master. We are that first servant in this parable. It's a debt that is too large for us to pay. It's unpayable. It's the debt of our sins. And on our own, we can't even pay off one single sin, much less the countless millions, possibly billions of sins we have done in our lifetime and offended God with. That mountainous debt of our sins, even if it were just one sin, the Bible tells us would earn us eternal punishment.
there would literally be hell to pay. But God in his mercy completely erased our sin debt, just like this master in the parable. Not one single sin is left on your record or mine because of what Jesus did. Not one penny of this wages of sin debt that we have is left to pay. How? Because Jesus paid that incredible debt for us by giving up his life as the atoning sacrifice, the sacrifice that was the payment for all of our sins on the cross. The Bible tells us this very plainly in a number of verses. 1 John 2:2. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice, the satisfactory payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's, his people's, sins against them. Why did God do this? Simply because he loves us. He loves us and wants us to live with him forever in his heavenly kingdom, and so he paid the debt that we owed him and saved us from the hell that we deserved. Think about that incredible love, the incredible mercy to take that enormous debt and just say, it's forgiven. It's washed away. Unlimited forgiveness. How does that make you feel to be spiritually debt-free when you think of that mountain of sins that God himself has washed away? Feels pretty good, doesn't it? Does it feel like a weight has been lifted off of your shoulders? A weight has been lifted off of your very soul? Now think about the times that others have sinned against you. We have to admit, sometimes people can hurt us pretty badly. Sometimes people sin against us over and over and over again. More than 7 times, as Peter mentions in this text. And those sins against us at times are not a small amount. You might even consider them to be several $1,000 sins in debt against us. But how big is that debt of sins against that mountain of sins that God has forgiven us in Christ? Who are we to be bitter, to be angry, to be vengeful, demanding payment for other people's sins against us when God has forgiven us literally the $50 billion sin debt that we owed him? That's Paul's point when he was writing these words in Ephesians chapter 4. Get rid of every kind of bitterness, rage, anger, quarreling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Beautiful verse, but listen to the end. Just as God in Christ has forgiven us. That's how we are to forgive each other. Yes, Pastor, I agree, but you don't know how badly I've been offended. You don't know how badly I've been hurt or wronged or mistreated. And yet Jesus tells us to forgive as we have been forgiven. We feel that excuse welling up in our heads or in our hearts. Think of the example from the Old Testament of Joseph. What an incredible example of forgiveness played out in real life. Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery, abused him, mistreated him. In his time in Egypt, not only was he a slave, but after he had risen to some prominence, he was then thrown in prison. He was left in prison and forgotten in prison for years. You think Joseph could have built up some resentment, some anger, some malice toward his brothers during those years? Yet in the end, he not only forgave his brothers, but he was kind to them. He was incredibly generous to them and their families. Why? And how could he possibly have done that? Because Joseph knew the incredible love and goodness God had shown him in his lifetime. He says it himself. He saw how God had turned the evil that had been done to him, and God turned it around for good and raised him to second in command of all of Egypt. That's pretty miraculous. And he did so to save not only his family, his brothers and their families, but the line of the Savior. His brother Judah would be in that line of Jesus. So God used Joseph to save his family in the line of the Savior during those years of famine. Well, yes, Pastor, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. I will not forget. Again, Jesus tells us, forgive as we have been forgiven. Let's find an even greater example of forgiveness, and let's use the example of God himself, the one who knows all things and literally could never forget something unless he wanted to, shows us that truly forgiving includes forgetting. Forgiving from your heart, as he says in this parable, includes forgetting. Now, as imperfect people, we don't do this perfectly, do we? But look how God forgives. In his word, he says that he does it freely and forgets our sins. Psalm 103:12 that we just read responsibly this morning. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive their iniquity, another word for sin, and their sin I will remember no more. The God who cannot forget chooses to forget our sins. If God himself can forgive and forget our sins, who are we to say that we can't or won't when others sin against us? Yes, Pastor, but I got to find another loophole here. What if they're not actually sorry for what they've done to harm me? Surely Jesus doesn't require me to forgive them and be forgiving toward them. Still, Jesus tells us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Again, use the example of Jesus himself. Did he wait for us to be good enough? Did he wait for us to be worthy enough? Did he wait for us to be sorry enough before he paid the full debt of our sins on Calvary's cross? No, of course not. The Bible tells us this in the incredible verse from Romans chapter 5. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A few verses before that says Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Jesus died to pay for our forgiveness. Remember, Jesus, while nailed to that cross, committed himself to his heavenly Father and cried out, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Remember that death that Jesus died on the cross paid for the sins of the whole world, for everyone. That means everyone's debt of sin has been paid for. That purchase of salvation was made for everyone. That would include people who don't believe in him, for people who are not sorry, for people who do not repent of their sins, even for those soldiers who, and the people who put him on the cross, who were not sorry for what they did when they crucified him there. Now, of course, the tragic thing is those who do not believe, those who reject him or refuse that forgiveness then is not made their own. But that forgiveness was there, is there. Jesus paid for those sins. He won that salvation for them. The fact is, Jesus was willing to die and forgive even them who did not ask for or were not sorry for their sins. Who are we then to say we refuse to forgive anyone who sins against us? That's why we pray what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we refuse to forgive, Jesus warns us, our Heavenly Father will likewise not forgive us. Why should we expect our Father's forgiveness if we are not willing to be forgiving and merciful toward others? We are then acting like that unmerciful servant in the parable. We're showing by our unforgiveness that we do not appreciate or value the forgiveness that God has given us. It shows a lack of love for God, a lack of faith in his forgiving love. And the devil wants us to have this satisfaction, or think that we can gain some satisfaction by nursing a grudge or even trying to get some revenge or enacting some sort of penance from someone else. And he wants us to believe that somehow we are justified in doing this. But such an unforgiving spirit, he doesn't tell us, is spiritual poison.
It's spiritual poison to our hearts and our souls. It harms most of all us and threatens to destroy us completely. Thankfully, and here is the really, really good news. Amazingly, Jesus died to take away even our sins of unforgiveness. If he didn't, which one of us would be saved? I see no hands. Jesus died even to take away our sins of unforgiveness. That is one more reason to have a loving and forgiving heart toward others, even when they sin against us. The Apostle John urges us, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." When we forgive, we are the ones who are blessed. Conversely, when we do not forgive, we are the ones who are hurt spiritually. It's easy to talk about forgiveness in this parable. It's easy to see the truth in this story and say, that's absolutely right. But it's harder to return that love and that forgiveness in our lives. It is a struggle to forgive. It's hard to show love when someone hurts us badly. It's hard to move on and forget the sins of others when we just can't stop waking up to the memories and remember what they have done to us. We have memories, we have hurts that sometimes take a very long time to get over and forget. But think of how essential it is to forgive in any relationship. I think marriage probably comes to mind first of all when it comes to forgiveness. And in pre-marriage classes, I always tell couples that the most important words they will say to each other in marriage are not just, I love you, but I forgive you. But again, not just in marriage, but in every relationship, especially the deep ones, the ones with our families, our friends, our fellow Christians, our fellow church members, between members and their pastor. We need to be forgiving toward each other. We are sinners, living, working, and worshiping with fellow sinners. We're going to sin against each other at times, in fact, many times. At times, we are going to let each other down. We are going to hurt each other. We're going to make each other mad at times. We are going to offend each other. With the gospel of Jesus Christ, with prayer and time and the work of the Holy Spirit, He can grow in us that forgiving spirit that grows, and the hurts that we have and the unforgiving heart that we have begins to fade away, and we can move on. I can forgive you. You can forgive me. We can forgive each other. Whatever the hurt, whatever the wrong, whatever the sin, we can give forgiveness. After all, think of how much forgiveness Jesus has given us. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. We continue our service with our next hymn, Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive.
Please rise. Prayers of the congregation are requested for Wayne Bliss, who earlier this week was hospitalized. He has now been moved to a rehabilitation center where he is recovering. We pray for him, and we also pray for Terry in this time of trouble. We also have had prayer requests from Pastor Rob Sowers. He requested prayers for his wife, Kate. I believe Kate is around my age, maybe a little younger than me. She was just diagnosed with cancer. They're not sure what type. They said that the doctors have found that it is contained, but it also is very far advanced. So they are still in the process of figuring out what exactly it is and what to do for treatment. So he asked for prayers from the brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. So we'll pray for them today as well. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are our forgiver, our helper, and our healer. We come to you today asking for these things in abundance. Your word reminds us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. And so we bring our cares, our concerns, our needs, and our requests to you, dear caring Savior. We first of all thank and praise you for watching over Wayne, for protecting him and providing him with good medical care. Please, dear Lord, bless his rehabilitation, that if it be your will, his mind and his body will fully recover. We ask that you would provide him relief from his pains, complete healing, and restored strength according to your perfect will and timing. We also ask you, dear Savior, to be with Terry, his wife, as she ministers to Wayne in his time of trial. Give her strength, give her patience and wisdom, and remind both of them that you, dear Good Shepherd, are in control and are working all things out for their true and eternal good. Comfort them both with your promises that you will never leave them nor forsake them, and that with you by their side, they truly have nothing to fear. Dear Jesus, we pray for your healing, for your comfort and strength, to be with Kate Sowers as she faces her cancer diagnosis and upcoming treatment. Be with her, her husband, Pastor Rob Sowers, and their children and family as they care for her and are praying for favorable results from her tests and her treatment. Finally, we pray, dear Lord, that you would come again quickly and rescue us from this life that is so full of hardship, heartache, and sin. Bring us all home to be with you and all believers who have gone before us in the mansions of heaven. We look forward with joyful expectation to that great day which you have promised us. In your all-knowing, all-loving name we pray these things, and now in your name we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Jesus.
message you've heard today. A few announcements for today and for this week. Following our service today, we ask those who are interested in singing in the choir this fall for Reformation, for Thanksgiving, and even for our Christmas services, please meet in the front of the church for a brief choir meeting. Following that, the Women's Auxiliary will meet in the Fellowship Hall at approximately 11:15. After this service today, I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. Bible study to follow at 2. This week, we have Stop and Worship service at the Oakmont Senior Living Center at 2 p.m. and then Sacramento Worship at Forever Easter House will be as close to 4 p.m. as we can make it. Wednesday, confirmation class with Natalie at 4, and then Thursday, we have Church Council and Elders meeting via Zoom at 7 p.m. So I'm going to go to the Church Council and Elders for that on Thursday. Next Sunday, Bible study at 9 a.m., worship at 10 a.m., the usual schedule. The East Bay congregation is inviting you to come for a potluck meal and a viewing of the first half of the creation video, Is Genesis History? If you'd like to come and join us for that, please feel free. If you would like to bring a dish to pass, there is a sign-up sheet. I can share that with you after the service. Let me know if you're coming. We get all the RSVPs and pens, and know how many will be there. If you'd like to bring a dish, I can share that sheet with you. Reminder, we're almost in the month of October. End of the month, last Sunday of October, we'll be having our Reformation worship service. It will be a joint service with both of our congregations meeting here at 10 a.m. and there will be a meal to follow. That's on the 29th of October. Any other announcements today? Questions?
Just a quick question.
Yes.
Is Bay potluck?
Yep.
Yep. And the potluck at
2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, we will have the potluck. As people are getting their food at the meeting, we'll start. Be approximately an hour. So I would guess the time for that next week would be between 2 and 3:30-ish is the time frame for it. They'll be grilled food is what the evening is.
And
clarification,
pastor,
Winter Haven, Florida. It's actually the church where my brother is a teacher. So that would be his pastor. And I mean, if you might, she's very young, right? When I emphasize that. Any other announcements today? In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Amen.